Well met, and welcome to episode 142, the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for January 1st, 2017. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings and Happy New Year. This is Bill Walthall, and in this podcast, we conclude our discussion of Timon of Athens with a production concept and cast, as well as a wrap-up for the play, and, as the day befits, a look ahead. So, Timon of Athens. How do you stage this one? Well, I think first off, this is a play that can definitely be staged contemporarily. The total and complete economic decline and the calling in of debt sounds, to me at least, a whole lot like the housing banking meltdown of 08, or maybe even prescient for something just around the corner. So, for a background, I envision a once gleaming facade of steel and glass, something that once looked opulent and awesome, say in the go-go 80s, but now is a little run down and dirty, a little broken around the edges, no longer gleaming. And we're on the inside looking out through the dirty windows. We see a skyline and sky slowly darkening as we reach the end of Act 3. Inside, any set pieces would be deep woods and gold trim. Across the visible stage background, that wall of glass and metal, we see the building's exterior block letters reversed from the inside, spelling out Timon in reverse. The letters are lit, maybe even trimmed in neon, lights that will partially flicker, then die as the play progresses in the first half, through the second feast scene. In the second half of the play, we're on the outside looking in. Now the exterior of the building that we're seeing on stage, the once let letters out, maybe even one of them knocked loose, hanging precariously off kilter. Any set pieces now are made from junk and trash. And who are our actors? Well, first off, I don't necessarily see Timon as a man. I think it could just as easily be played by a woman, but someone with a stature, a certain gravitas, one who we might believe was once a general, then maybe even a war profiteer, and then a benefactor trying to give away what she considers to be ill-gotten gains. And as a soldier, she would have little sympathy for the camp-following horrors in Act 4, Scene 3. Now, full disclosure, I've been a little Westworld-obsessed in the last couple of months, so 44-year-old Tandy Newton is my Timon. She can be hard, hurt, angry, vengeful, and switch gears between those on a dime. She's not afraid of nudity, making the Act 4 strip down something that could happen, but then wrapping herself up in some kind of discarded blanket from the streets. I can see her as a former soldier, but also as a stylish high society icon. For Alcibiades, I want someone a little younger than Timon, a contemporary but slightly subordinate to her, at least before this play. Rough, still a soldier in the field, fiercely loyal to his men with no patience for politicians. Someone who just has a little bit of monomaniacal crazy in him. Joaquin Phoenix. Intense, but somehow just a little off. At 42, the age is right, but more importantly, I can see him both as a subordinate under Newton, but his own man with his own army as well. Finally, Apamantus. This one I can see going in a couple of different ways. One, as an older, almost paternal figure to Timon, or in the other direction, as a surrogate child to her. But in some ways, I see the character as the other side of the Timon coin, an almost photo-negative version. I want there to be some kind of link there, either gender or physicality, or maybe we go the flip side version and maybe age. And I'm struggling. If I go the parental route, I'd probably stick with female and gender and go with 71-year-old Helen Mirren. And I cannot believe I made it this far in the project without using her in any of the casts. I mean, what have I been thinking? She can play withering cynicism, but still with a wink. If I go the child route, Aaliyah Shawkat, 27, formerly of Arrested Development, but now in Search Party. Total sarcasm, and the ability to play outcast perfectly. If I go for the flip side of the coin route, And I don't know, maybe Sam Rockwell, very much outsider, a little bit of sneering sarcasm. Or maybe Shawcat's Arrested Development castmate, Jason Bateman. That could work. This Appomattox character can go so many different ways. But what do you think? Who's your time in? Need some teaching resources? Need to adorn your teaching materials with some Shakespearean goodies? Well, check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the teacherspayteachers.com site. We've got materials on Romeo and Juliet, Julius Caesar, King Lear, Othello, Troilus and Cressida, and Titus Andronicus, with more on the way all the time. Plus, you can find the handout version of the periodic table of Shakespeare. Now, some are free, some are for purchase, but all quality items. And for those of you who are asking for bigger, poster-sized versions of that periodic table, you can order those from our Redbubble page. Links to both pages can be found in the navigation of this here website. Okay, so, Timon of Athens. Kinda ambivalent about this bad boy. I mean, there are things I like about it. The character of Appomattox and his wonderful cynicism. Alcibiades and his revolt against Athens. The dark comic take on artists and artisans. In the role, if not character, of Timon. But it's so awkwardly written. The stuff by Middleton feels bizarrely, cynically modern. The stuff by Shakespeare, well written, but somehow not quite right. And then there's that really long Act 4, Scene 3, plus the two epitaphs, and the weird, weird misogyny. I do think this is a play about money, wealth, and their corrupting powers. And I do think the play has a kind of muscularity about those subjects. But I'm not sure it's enough to fill a complete play. There might be a reason why Timon's story in Plutarch is relegated to a sidebar allusion in Antony's history. This is a play that, for me, asks a great many questions, but answers almost none. And yet, as negative as all of that sounds, I didn't hate it. If I found our last play, Antony and Cleopatra, to be more frustrating than fascinating, I actually find this one to be more fascinating than frustrating. I mean, how do you stage it? Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think it can be one of those plays that can certainly be brought into the modern setting. I mean, you know, all of Athens seems to have suffered an economic downturn, housing default crisis, anyone? A war hero, maybe even a profiteer returning from a Middle Eastern war. A sense of entitlement that pervades not only the artist class, but their benefactors too. It all feels so timely, of the moment. Now, all that being said, where do I put this one? Well, of the so-called problem plays, and this is the last one, yay, I'd put it fourth, just a hair's breadth behind Troilus and Cressida. And yes, that means I put it ahead of Merchant of Venice. Look, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just stating how well I enjoyed the reading, not necessarily how good I think the play is. But still, that's pretty low on the overall scale. I mean, it's just a bit out of the bottom quarter of all of the plays. So, bottom line, I didn't love the play, but I certainly didn't hate it. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries since our last regular podcast, you've missed out on subjects including A Warning, Remembering, Ma, Congratulations, Timon of Athens, a little different scansion, Midpoint, a Midpoint without Timon, Merry Christmas, Timon of Athens by the Numbers, Happy Anniversary, Timon of Athens, a not quite misanthropic wrap-up. So, if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com or become a fan of our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. Now, remember that those social media outlets are more for Shakespeare news and notes than for discussions of our current play under study. Also, if you have any question or comment about this or any other Bill Shakespeare Project podcast or blog entry, you can always lob me an email at bill@thebillshakespeareproject.com. Now, today's New Year's Day, and I just want to take a moment to say to all of you that I hope 2016 was good for you, and that 2017 will be much better or even greater, depending on your 2016. And as we look forward, join us again for our next podcast. Hope to see you then. Listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for January 1st, 2017. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we shall see thee anon.